Accession number 17327, Reel 1.
Han Pope, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
I was born at Tadworth in Surrey.
Which year was this?
1921.
Can you tell me something about your family background, what your father did for a living and so on, please?
My father was a lawyer in London, and we lived not far from Horsham in Sussex, and he went up every day, and we had a quite big house and two cars and a chauffeur who had a motorbike. And I used to ride the motorbike, his motorbike, in the field in front of the house when I was too young to ride on the road. And I really enjoyed it.
Was it unusual for women to ride motorcycles in those days?
I would think yes, because I don't remember any, or certainly not many, riding on the road. And when I was old enough, I used to ride to the hospital on the chauffeur's motorbike. But then the matron was really rather rude to me, and I thought, well, I'm not going to work at this base hospital any longer. I'm going to do something different. What shall I do that's different? And there were not many girls who could ride a motorbike. So I thought, I don't know how I heard that there were openings in the Wrens for dispatch riders, but anyway, I did, and so I thought I'd do that, and I did straight away. Most of the girls learnt to ride motorbikes at New Cross, but of course I could already ride, and so I was went straight away to being a dispatch rider, and it was lovely. And then others were trained and joined us, and we were sent to Fort Southwick, which was really the big place for war time activities, and eventually, of course, the headquarters for Operation Overlord, which was the invasion of France.
How old were you when you volunteered to be a dispatch rider in the Wrens?
I should think 17, maybe 18, but very young anyway.
So this was right at the beginning of the war?
Yeah.
When war was declared?
When war was declared, I was working. No, I don't think I was working. I think I'd only just come back from school in Switzerland. And I was hoping to go to France to a family near Paris, Neuilly, and to get my French better. But my father luckily saw what was coming and stopped me going to France. And I wanted to do something to help with the war when war was declared. It was pretty dramatic, wasn't it? I remember it well.
Did you hear Chamberlain's broadcast declaring war?
Yeah. Yes, oh yes. But, I mean, the thing was so awful, wasn't it? And the fact that peace in our time thing, I mean, how silly he was. But, I mean, it couldn't be. I mean, he should have known that what was coming, I think. But anyway, he didn't. He was dead keen on this peace idea. And where have I got to? I was...
You tell me about your reaction to the war declaration. So once you'd heard that we were at war, did you have any desire to get into it in any capacity?
Well, yes, I think I did, because most people saw what was coming, really. And I was one up, one ahead, really, being able to ride a motorbike. And I heard somehow that they were wanting dispatch riders, so I thought, got very excited, and thought, I'll be a dispatch rider.
Whereabouts did you go to join up?
I really can't remember, but I think probably somewhere in Portsmouth, because we lived in Sussex, you see, near Horsham. And I was really very keen then on my ex-husband, as he is now, thank goodness. But he was in the Navy, and so I thought, well, I'll be a Wren. So I did.
So you didn't join the Wrens, and then they're allocating you to be a dispatch rider.
No.
You became a dispatch rider in the Wrens right from the beginning.
Because I could ride a motorbike, and not many girls could, actually, because I said I want to be a dispatch rider. And so I was.
Was the whole body of dispatch riders in the Navy, were they all women, or was it a mixture of men and women?
No, I should think there must have been many men, but we were really interested only in the girls, because we thought we were rather special.
Where did you have any special training at first for dispatch riding?
No, I didn't, because I could ride a motorbike already, and that was so few girls could. And so I was really one up.
And where were you based, first of all?
Well, I think I was always Portsmouth, sort of, and I think possibly Whale Island first, which is the gunnery place of Portsmouth. And I was there for some time. It wasn't till things so hotted up and people began to think of when we'd get back into France that Fort Southwark became the headquarters, really. And we were all there having a really lovely time, actually. It was awful to say so, and such awful things were happening. But we were lucky, you see, we who could ride motorbikes. We used to speed along anywhere between Dover and Plymouth. I felt we were doing really important things. And it was nothing, almost nothing on the road because of petrol rationing. And there were just convoys of army people.
How far afield would you go to deliver the dispatches?
Well, Plymouth and Dover, really. Well, I remember going to Oxford, and we used to go to places like Bletchley Park, and it springs to mind. I can't remember what that was. Something to do with code, was it?
That was the government code and cipher school.
Code, that's right. Well, we used to go there quite a lot. But it was the same places, really, again and again and again. And we were really fast, you see. I mean, on motorbikes, you can go really fast if there's nothing in the way. And we used to go to the same places again and again and again. And loved it. We were popular.
What kind of speeds would you be going at?
Well, not fast according to today, I suppose, but I don't know, 60, 70, I don't know, really.
Was there a speed limit for you?
I don't think so. Were the speed limits then?
I don't know.
You're too young, probably, but it was a fairly new thing, really, all this road work. Not like now. It's dangerous now, isn't it? And the roads are not really up to it. So what's going to happen? I don't know.
What was it? Was the machine that you were using in the Navy the same type of machine that you've been used to before?
I don't know that the chauffeur's was an aerial, but we rode aerial motorbikes.
Was it more powerful than the ones you've been used to?
Had been used to? I shouldn't think so, really. I mean, this was 50 years ago.
What capacity was your bike in the Navy?
Capacity was my...
What capacity was the aerial that you used in the Rams?
Well, it's in my book.
I think in the book it says 350 cc's. 350 cc's.
Did it? Oh, well, that's what it was. I took great care writing that book, and it's right.
Did you have mechanical problems with them?
Not really. It says in the book the EMA garage looked after our bugs and taught us how to do some running repairs. And they were good bugs. They were well looked after. We felt we were important.
Did you have occasions where you would break down on a journey and get stuck?
Yes, I'm sure there must have been. I can't quickly call to mind anything, but the South and Sussex and Hampshire and Kent were full of soldiers, and we were so full of getting ready for the going back. And the men were always so helpful to us. I mean, they thought we were really good to see riding motorbikes.
What kind of help did they give?
They used to seem to us that they were able to do everything. We got quite good at doing running repairs, and well, we had to. And we used to, of course, we couldn't carry a spare wheel, so if we got a puncture, that was a problem. We used to have to push into any camp that was near and get them to do it for us quickly.
Did that actually happen to you?
Yes, I remember one. I pushed into a Canadian or American camp, I think, and I said, I've got a puncture, can you help me? Oh, yes, you take one of our bugs and go on to New Haven where you're going and come back and we'll have your bug ready. And so this was great, but the bike they brought out for me to ride was a Harley Davidson, which is a pretty big bike. And I could ride it all right, but if I was not moving, I couldn't hold it up. And so it was a fairly eventful journey, because when I got to anywhere, I couldn't stop and say who I am, and I just say, can two or three men come and hold my bike, please, while I tell you who I am? So that was a fairly eventful journey. But on the whole, our bikes were very well looked after, and we were all sensible girls, and we had a great time.
Were you able to get the necessary fuel easily?
There were special places where we used to be able to go to get petrol and sign for it. And so we had to know where these places were and plan our journeys so that we could always have petrol. I can't remember where the places were, but anyway, we knew them pretty well, of course.
Did you ever have sidecars to the motor bicycles?
We did have a few motorbikes, and that was the only time I had an accident, luckily, because I forgot that, of course, I couldn't go lean right or left according to which way the bend was. Alter direction, you know, go around the bend. And I forgot about this, and I was going around a left-hand bend, and I leant over, thinking that the bike would go around the bend. Of course, it didn't, because the sidecar was there, and it went straight on, and I went into a wall. And that was, luckily, I was not hurt, but the first really proper accident I had.
Did you have any injuries?
No. Yes, I do remember being hurt that time. Not that time. Another time when I was actually in my hometown of Horsham, and I failed to see the, what's the thing in the middle?
The island?
It was an island. And I went into it. Amazing, because I mean, I must have known it was there. There was the blackout, of course. But I must have known it was there. And I think that the light had failed. But we don't really know. And I went into the bollard or whatever it is, and was hurt. And there was I had a few days at home to get over that. And there was a pretty good mess because a heavy motorbike going into a thing, you know, can do some damage. And anyway, I got back to Fort Southwark, and a bill came in from the Horsham Town Council or whatever for damage to the island. I don't know how many hundreds, but I mean quite a lot of money. And luckily, my transport officer, who was great, he was really lovely. We used to call him the wet dream. But I think we were all too young. We didn't know what we were saying, really. But anyway, that's what we called him. And he was great. And so he sent back to the council damage to motorbike, which is considerably more than the damage to the island thing. And so, I can't remember how it ended, but it was quite funny.
So you didn't get a reprimand?
No. Luckily, no, I didn't. And I was second senior of something like 15 men's bet riders. Diana Talbot was the petty officer, but she didn't always go out on trips. She used to organise. And, well, we had a great time.
So you didn't have accidents which put you out of action for any length of time?
No, luckily not.
Did you go out at night time as well as during the day?
Oh, yes. We used to do, I can't remember whether they were 12-hour watches, but we did watch on, watch off, standby watch, when you were called up as needed, and we often were. And, oh, yes, none of this sissy, not out at night, and we used to go everywhere. It was great.
But was it dangerous with there being a blackout and no lights?
Not really, because it was the same for everybody then. and there was very little traffic on the road because of petrol rationing. And well, we didn't think of danger. I mean, with bombs and people being killed every night, you didn't think really of. But it's an entirely different way of thinking in the war.
Did you ever feel apprehensive about, as a woman, going about at night because of attacks from men?
Not at all. It was not like that at all in the war. It was, everybody was in the war effort. And it was not like it is now. I mean, as you say, nowadays women probably don't like to go out in the dark. But then everybody was fighting the war, and we were all doing something. I mean, my mother was doing things and taking in refugees, and everybody was doing something.
So did you ever hear of a woman who was sexually assaulted during the war?
No. Maybe it happened, but I didn't hear about it. It was so different to the way things are now. I mean, what's happening now? I mean, we don't know and how it's going to end. And I mean, it must have been dangerous because it was war and bombs and I remember going to Uxbridge, where there was quite a lot of Air Force, I think. We used to go to Uxbridge a lot. And I remember going and seeing one of the first doodlebugs. What was the proper name? I can't remember.
V1.
I remember seeing one of the first, I think it must have been, coming over. Being very puzzled. But then, of course, they did come, didn't they? But I saw one of the first. I was really surprised.
Were you in any of the bombing of Britain by the German Air Force? Did any bombs or V-weapons fall near you?
Oh, yes, because we lived in Sussex, southeast, and that's where they came at first, anyway. And, of course, Dover used to be shelled, I think, did it?
Yes.
So, Dover, I remember when we went to Dover from Portsmouth, we stayed the night there. And I remember the shelling. And I didn't go down to the shelters because I was so tired, I think, and I just stayed in bed. But here I am, okay.
Were you told off because of that?
I think probably only the head of the dormitory knew. Because, I mean, I was only just there for the one night. And I think probably the head of the dormitory. Oh, I think I'd got there rather late. And in the morning, the head of the dormitory said, "Who are you?" I said, "Dispatch rider from Portsmouth." "Did you come down to the shelters?" "No, too tired." And so I don't think anybody knew, really.
So when you stayed overnight, you didn't have a room to yourself. You were in a dormitory, were you?
No. Well, they were all dormitories, really. No, we did have, where we lived in Mount Cottage, just off Fort Southwark, that was an ordinary house, and we had about, say, 3 to a bedroom.
Did you mind having to stay overnight on duty?
No. we didn't mind anything in the war. It was totally different. And we realised how lucky we were doing this rather special job, at least we thought it was special. And no, it was totally different.
What were you dressed in when you did the job?
Well, we had crash helmets, of course, although in my book there are pictures of us in naval caps, sort of for show, riding in some special event. But we had crash helmets and breeches, gaiters, boots, jackets, masses of jerseys, and leather jerkin over the top, short Macintoshes, and a lot of clothing. We needed it.
Was there anything that you wore which identified you as Navy rather than anything else?
Well, yes, I mean, we obviously had, I can't remember what, couldn't have had cap badges, because we were crash helmets, we were Navy, but we were sometimes mistaken for men, because we were doing a man's job, really, and so we, there was some confusion, I remember, at least once when one wind dispatch rider was caught coming out of the women's lavatory. And the owner of the pub, or whatever it was really cross. And I think called the police or something, but we did look like men.
Did the bikes have any naval insignia? Were they painted blue or something like that?
Did they?
The bicycles themselves, the motorbikes, were they
Navy.
Identified?
Oh, yes, Navy, and with anchors on them, I think. There are pictures of them in my book. And if anybody is listening to this who doesn't have a book, one of my books. I have plenty for sale.
Were there any other occasions when you were mistaken for something different from what you were?
Well, no, I don't remember that particularly. I mean, everybody was something. Everybody was doing something. And, well, I don't know. We got around quite a lot, and people got used to us, I think, and thought we were all right.
Where did you carry the dispatches themselves?
Well, we had satchels slung across us, but if we had a lot, we had bags on our carriers, but mostly we didn't carry a lot of documents. But I mean, obviously, we must never be parted from our documents which we were carrying, because I mean, they were important. But I do remember we had sort of carriers.